We are going to get underway this morning. Folks can find your seat. We're going to jump right in here. We want to welcome those folks who are visiting with us. Great to have you here. And we would really like to get to know you better. And so we ask that if you would find a visitor's card right there in the back of the pew in front of you and fill that out. And drop it in a little house back here at the entrance as you leave this morning. But great to have you here. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. All right, we have a few announcements that we'd like to share with the fellowship here. Brotherhood is coming up. Not this coming Monday, but the following Monday on the 17th. And then the ladies' luncheon is on the 20th. And it hasn't been decided yet exactly where that's going to take place, but we will be announcing that so no one misses out who would like to take part in that. Yesterday we had a wonderful memorial service for Diane Browning. Brown and all of her family were gathered here, from some of them from different parts of the country. It was a great time of fellowship. We had a great group here, filled up the auditorium. Great time of fellowship back here in the fellowship hall, sharing a meal together afterwards. And there were some ladies who served that food and took care of it afterwards that just exhausted themselves. I tell you, it was a big job. And we really appreciate how they took care of us all and sacrificed and served us in that way. But we have a lot of tables that are up back there that we use when we have a time of eating together. We normally have narrower tables that we use in our class time. And so if some of you fellows can stay for a few minutes after the service this morning, we want to go over there and change those tables out and get that set back up for the classroom time. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, what a wonderful thing it is when you call one of your children home, to know that we as believers will see them again. What a tremendous, confident, steadfast hope and promise we've been given of eternal life and of a great family reunion one day. Lord, we're so thankful for the encouragement that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life and seeing those again that we love and have to say goodbye for just a brief time. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We need the encouragement and fellowship and ministering from one another in the body of Christ, and we know that takes place here. We're thankful for the opportunity to sing together your praises because you are worthy of it. We're thankful, Lord, for faithful proclamation of your word. We need that for instruction, for guidance in life. We need that, Lord, in our walk with you. We pray for our pastor, Danny, as he proclaims your word this morning, that it may be in spirit and in truth. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name.
Amen and good morning. I'd like to also add my voice to the chorus to say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers in the room. I was thinking through this morning about just how gracious God has been to me and to my own family, especially during seminary, and just how much personal growth I've seen in myself and my wife. And it just seems like at times, at least at this point in life, it just feels like the blessings just are on top of one another. And so I come bearing yet another blessing that the Lord has determined that we will be having our third child. I thought that would be a nice Mother's Day treat on Mother's Day. Let's turn now our attention to the Lord as we read from Psalm 19. And I'd like you to bear with me this morning. We're going to read through the entirety of Psalm 19. I think it's so beautiful and captures so much of the glory of God. This is Psalm 19. To the choir master, a Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And it ends like this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing to him, Lay Me Down.
With this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry. I will bring a sacrifice.
I will bring.
Your will, your
Let's continue to sing worship and be challenged by this song that says, "Come, all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord."
Receive for his grace given.
continue singing. Let's turn our hearts to realize that apart from God, apart from His mercy, we would not be here. We would not be in His grace. We would not be in His mercy. It's not of our doing. It's not of our great intellect. It's not of our great hearts filled with compassion that drew us to Christ. It was Christ's great heart of compassion that drew us to Him. And part of that process is the humbling of ourselves before Him. And this song is, as those who are familiar with this and who've been around a little while, this song is called Forgiven.
Dressed in righteous deeds to hide all the stains below. We have judged our sons and daughters for the sin that is our own. May we now forgive each other and lay down our stones. Forgive us for our love of the things we wish to own. We forsake the feast above for all the crumbs below. Though you've made us sons and daughters, we do not the world disown. May we find our greatest treasure is in you alone. For our shame, when we can't release the past, when we're quick to take the blame, but forget we're free at last. We avoid your sons and daughters for the fear we don't belong. Give us eyes to see each other through your only Son. Forgiven. 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 Through the blood of Christ we are forgiven. 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 Forgiven.
Time.
Oh, forgiven, forgiven, Christ we are forgiven.
A ministry that we here at Glencoe Baptist Church like to support and actually desire to have more involvement with is that of the Grace House Pregnancy Center. They do a wonderful work helping young ladies navigate pregnancy. They offer them help and support. They also offer counseling. And we want to have a greater part in being involved in that ministry. And so, being that today is Mother's Day, we have Jessica Deese with us from the Grace House Pregnancy Center, and she's going to come and tell us how one of the efforts that they have currently going on, a way that we can help them financially meet the needs of their ministry. So, Jessica, come and share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here today, for welcoming me and my family on Mother's Day. I also, too, want to join in and say Happy Mother's Day to everyone. It's just such an honor to be here. I used to come here, actually, when I was in high school, so it's good to be back. So I wanted to share a little bit about Grace House and what we do. We are a nonprofit Christian organization here in Volusia County. We service three areas primarily. We have three locations, one in New Smyrna Beach, one in Ormond Beach, and also one in DeLand. We exist to empower the abortion vulnerable woman and man to make life affirming choices and to share the hope and love of Jesus Christ with each one of them. You might be wondering why we need a pregnancy center. I'd like to share some statistics from last year in 2020 with you. 59% of pregnancies in Florida are unplanned. And of those 59%, about 80% of those women said if they had been informed properly or informed more, they would have made a different pregnancy decision. Of those 80%, 90% of those women that chose abortion said that if they would have had the help and the support, that they would have made a different decision as well. So we believe in the sanctity of human life. Some services that we offer that I'd like to share with you are, all of our services are free and confidential. We offer pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STI testing, and education. We offer pregnancy education for their options, also fetal development. We offer biblical help to connect with God through Bible studies and prayer. We also have an abortion recovery program for anyone that's had an abortion. We offer God's plan for sexual integrity and sexuality, as well as compassionate peer counseling. Additionally, we support our parents through maternity help with baby items and maternity clothing, and we offer them area resources in the community for other needs that they may have as well. And we participate in life events within the community. We are funded by churches and individuals and organizations. So you might be wondering how you can help or be involved. And the number one thing that we need is prayer, first and foremost. Prayer for our moms and dads, prayer for our leaders, our limited staff members, and prayer for our volunteers that make every day possible. We have an enormous amount of volunteers across three centers, and the Lord just provides every single day through them, just pouring out his grace and love to our moms and dads, and we are so thankful for that. But we always, always need more. I wanted to share a few statistics with you of the clients that we saw last year. We saw 1,851 moms and dads. Of that, we offered 282 ultrasounds. We shared the gospel 391 times. We did 284 Bible studies, and we had the opportunity 1,569 times to pray with clients. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in case anyone might not know, Kia is our ambassador between Glencoe and Grace House. She is the liaison. If you have any questions or you'd like to know how you can be involved and help us, you can hunt her down and bring them to her. And if not, you can contact us directly. Thank you guys for having me again here, and happy Mother's Day. Oh, yeah, thank you. So Kia has been so gracious, along with your congregation, to organize a baby bottle drive. I believe it's right in the lobby when you come in. There's a table, and Kia will be there after the service. We have some brochures that kind of details more about our volunteer opportunities and ways to be involved, how to give, prayer request team, so on and so forth. You can fill them with small change or larger checks or bills too. We appreciate those. And then Kia will, I think it's till Father's Day, and just bring them back here, and she'll collect them and she'll get them to us. Thank you, guys.
Now I'm back on. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Oh. Well, I am thankful for the gift of motherhood. I celebrate with Jacob and Lindsay and their upcoming addition to their family. We need to pray for a good pregnancy and delivery, and everything goes smoothly, and it's not a hard pregnancy. We'll pray for that. I don't know if that exists, but anyway. But we'll pray for it anyway. But I am so grateful for motherhood. I've been greatly influenced by my own mother. I can't say enough about her. I have to keep myself from telling too many stories about her as I preach. Those things do come out sometimes, but my mother is a godly woman, and raised us to the best of her ability. She always talks about her mistakes and those kinds of things, but there's no perfect parent. We're going to all make mistakes. I've had to apologize I don't know how many times already as a father to my children because of mistakes that I've made. I mean, admittedly, they were mistakes, wrong, rush judgments and rash decisions and those kinds of things. But my mother was a godly example, still is a godly example to me. I still look up to her, value her opinion, and I still watch her live her life. And my mother was a part of the Pregnancy Resource Center in Maryville, Tennessee. She worked with them for many, many years, served on their board. So I have an affinity for the pregnancy. Did my battery die? I hope we're not going to be having these issues this morning. All right. Anyway, take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I want us to learn something this morning from the mother of all living, our first mother, the first wife. I believe that we can learn some things from her that are of great value. The record of her creation, her being given to the man, has been placed in the pages of Holy Writ so that we can learn something in regard to what it means to be a mother, what it means to be a wife. So begin reading with me Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.' Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. May God add the blessing to the reading, his blessing to the reading of his word. Mother's and Father's Day are probably the scariest day for a preacher to stand behind a pulpit. It's become that way, and it's because on those days, a preacher is sure to upset someone or even make someone angry. Because if a preacher is worth his salt and is seeking to be faithful to what the Bible has to say about manhood and womanhood and motherhood and fatherhood, marriage and sexuality, everything he's going to say is going to be antithetical to everything that our modern humanistic culture is screaming in your ear. Sadly, those ideas have become the ideas of many in the church today. Many in the church today have grabbed hold of those humanistic ideas, and they wish to hold on to them over and above biblical truth. They wish to hold to these humanistic ideas because of the pressure of the world around them. The world that we live in is becoming increasingly godless. It's becoming increasingly wicked. And it says that the biblical view that Christians hold is antiquated, it's outdated, it's old-fashioned. They say what you need to do is you need to catch up with the times because things have changed. The biblical view is oppressive, and it's a hindrance to you and to society reaching its greatest potential. I beg to differ. Let me remind you that biblical truth comes from a divine mind. The mind of God, a God of all wisdom, a God of perfect wisdom, and a God who in his goodness to us has shared that wisdom with us for our good and for our flourishing. Amen. And any departure from that wisdom, from his divine design, does anything but help a people or a society. Indeed, it has, is doing, and will do anything but help a people and a society. God's way is the best way. It's always the best way. And the irony of it all is that we recognize that in so many other areas of life. In so many other aspects of life, we recognize that God's way is the best way, but we refuse to make that admission when it comes to motherhood and fatherhood and womanhood and manhood and marriage and human sexuality. That's the irony of it all. Vodi Bakum made this statement: "We trust God and we're thankful to God for his wisdom in other areas of life. We say things like this: God, I know you know enough to put the earth exactly where it needed to be, far enough from the sun so we don't fry, but close enough to it so we don't freeze. I appreciate that, God. Thank you, God. I appreciate that you gave the earth enough mass so that gravity would keep us here, but not so much that it would crush us. Thank you very much, God. God, I know that you know how to make the seasons come exactly as they're supposed to. I know that you keep this whole thing in balance, and I appreciate that, God. I appreciate that every cell in my body was designed to work properly so that I can live and breathe and move and have my being. However, on this issue of wives being submissive to their husbands, you're crazy. On this issue of husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, you're out of your mind. That's the irony of it all. We recognize God's wisdom in other aspects of life, that it's good wisdom. It's valuable wisdom. It should be appropriated. But then when it comes to marriage, motherhood, fatherhood, all those things, we will not make that admission. And when we have that mentality, the only thing that we're moving toward is ruin. So mothers, the best thing that I can do for you this morning, the best thing that I can do to help you be the mother that you, the mothers that you can be, the mothers that I believe you want to be, is to take you to the Word of God and to hear its instruction on mothers. Church, mothers are a gift from God. I hope we all recognize that. They are a gift from God. They are a blessing from God. But what is the beginning of motherhood, even of being a wife? The passage that we have set before us this morning brings before us our first mother, sets before us our first mother. And let me be clear in saying this. Humans did not evolve. The origin of the first mother, the origin of motherhood and the first wife is not lost to history in evolutionary processes over billions of years. There was no evolution. And this morning we could have read Genesis chapter 1. You're all familiar with it, where God clearly gives the historical record of the fact that he created the world in six literal 24-hour days. There was no evolution. There was no kinds changing in the kinds. The Bible says that God made every kind, every plant, every animal according to its kind. God's word is clear on that. And God's word is true. And on the sixth day of creation, God made humans, and God made them male and female. What we read in Genesis chapter 2 does not contradict Genesis chapter 1. Some people say there's an idea out there that maybe God created humans, that God created the world, and then there was death, and so he had to start over again. No, that's not what happened. What Genesis chapter 2 does is zooms in on that sixth day of creation. And while we can analyze all the different parts of the creation record, the emphasis of the creation record is the greatness of God, the greatness of his wisdom, the greatness of his creativity. And so with that in focus this morning, we see our first mother. And the goal is not to worship her, certainly not. The goal is not to worship mothers in general or motherhood in general, but to worship God as we see God giving us mothers. Mothers and wives point us to God. When you look at your wife, you're being pointed to God. When you look at your mother, you're being pointed to God. So what does this text this morning tell us about mothers? What are mothers and wives supposed to be? First of all, a mother is a fit helper. Look at verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Now, in Genesis chapter 2, God gives Adam a calling before he ever creates the woman. That calling is found in verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. That was God's calling upon Adam's life. He was supposed to work and keep the garden. And let me say this, work is a pre-fall concept. Work is what we might call a creation ordinance. It didn't just come after the fall. Recently, one of my friends who is a big, fan of increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Right now, we know that businesses are having a hard time finding workers, right? Nobody's working, and it's hard to get laborers. And this individual posted on Facebook, "Well, why would anybody want to go back to work if they're not going to be paid a living wage, i.e. $15 an hour? Well, the reason why people should go back to work is because work is commanded of God, especially of the men. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Doesn't matter what you're being paid, men are supposed to work. They're supposed to be productive. It's a pre-fall concept. But God had given Adam a task to work and to keep the Garden of Eden. Now, that has connections to other parts of Scripture, meaning that God had something bigger and grander in mind than just tilling the soil or pruning branches. But God had given Adam a task, and he had given Adam an important task. And it's evident that none of the animals were fit helpers for that task. That's indicated by the fact that God says in verse 18, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." In a very good creation, there was something that was wrong at this point, and what was wrong was that man was alone. Man was by himself. Apparently, Adam could not fulfill his calling from God by himself. Even more so, the animals couldn't help Adam fulfill his God-given task. Now, think about this. This is before the fall, okay? This is before the fall into sin. And even then, the animals were not able to help Adam in fulfilling his God-given calling. We often say man is a dog's best friend. Well, even a dog wasn't a fit helper for Adam. Something more was needed. Someone more was needed. Our first mother, the first wife, fulfilled a role only she could fill. Only she was a helper fit for Adam. And it's still that way today. The judgment of God is still true. It is not good that a man should be alone. And men, we know that. We know that, don't we? Man, I would be a mess without my wife. I can't find things when they're right in front of my face. But we know that it's not good for a man to be alone. That's why we sought to marry in the first place. In part, it was because we realized that it wasn't good for us to be alone. Now, there are exceptions to this. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that there's exceptions to this. Marriage is not needed for a particular man or a particular woman. These people have the gift of singleness, so they can do what? So they can devote themselves to the things of the Lord. Paul makes it clear that there are exceptions to this general rule that we find here. But know this. We all know this. Sin has twisted things. Sin has twisted the thinking of many in our culture. Satan, with his lies, has convinced many that they can go at it alone. Even if God hasn't called them to do so, they can go at it alone. Sin has so twisted things that many think that marriage just simply isn't necessary anymore. Formally committing oneself to another isn't necessary. It's unimportant. Doing that before God and before witnesses, that's not necessary. It's just a piece of paper. You've heard that. As long as we love each other, we're married to each other. No, that's in our hearts. That's the thinking out there. Satan has convinced many a man that a wife is a drag. That a wife would be a hindrance to him doing what he wants to do. Doing all the things he wants to do. And so they put off marriage because they want to have fun. They don't want to be tied down. What we have a problem with in our culture is prolonged adolescence. And so we have men who want to go out and to have their fun and to sow their wild oats and then settle down. That's not biblical. That is not biblical. I don't see that anywhere on the pages of Scripture. And girls, women, let me ask you something. You need to ask yourself this. Do you want a man who spends most of his life playing games and playing around, and then when all the fun is over, settling for you? Do you want that? Look, when man is alone, especially now after the fall, things are generally not good. It wasn't good before the fall, especially not good now. We see that in our society, don't we? So clearly. The proliferation of wickedness and sin in our culture is because many a man is alone. Increased wickedness in our culture is the result of man's rebellion against God, who said it is not good that man should be alone. Our first mother, the first wife, was someone different from Adam. Yes, she was very much like him compared to the animals. She was very much like him. She certainly was made in the image of God as he was, but she's different. She's other. She's a helper fit for him. She's not the head. He is. She's his helper. She's not his servant. She's not his slave. She's not his master or lord. She is his helper. Now think of that word helper. That's used elsewhere in the Bible of other people who were helpers of others. But most importantly, it's used of God himself. Where do we say that our help comes from? It comes from God. The psalmists do this, Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is called our helper in the scriptures. He's a very present help in time of trouble. There's nothing demeaning about that word. Women, when God says that you're a helper fit for your husband, there's nothing demeaning about that. Everything about this passage shows the blessing that a woman is, the blessing that a woman is to a man. She's a helper fit for him. And might I remind you that this was before the fall into sin. This was before brokenness. This was before everything became a mess. Adam needed Eve as his helper in paradise. She wasn't to do her own thing. The woman is to help the man in his thing. The woman is to help the man in his calling. It becomes their thing. In a godly home, in a godly relationship, the mother is a great help to the father. The wife is a great help to her husband. She compliments him. She compliments him. That doesn't just mean that she says nice things about him or nice things to him, but she supplies what he lacks. That's what that means. God made the woman different. He made the woman gloriously different. She's not a carbon copy of the man, but she makes up for what the man lacks in order for him to do the work that God has called him to do. Husbands, we need to realize the help that our wives are to us. We don't do it enough. Now, I know that because we live in a fallen world, no relationship is perfect. But if you have trouble seeing how your wife is a helper fit for you, then what you need to do is you need to think harder, you need to pray about it more, and you need to meditate on the teaching of God's word in regard to your wife and the mother of your children. You need to thank her for the helper that she is to you, for the help that she gives you. You need to value her. You need to utilize her. You need to praise her. As Proverbs 31 says in regard to the excellent wife, you need to call her blessed, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. That's what you need to do. And don't worry, nobody's paying me to say this. My wife is not here. Pray for her. She has a huge migraine headache. But wives and mothers, God has called you to a noble calling. A noble calling. Don't listen to the humanistic world around you. Don't listen to the unbelieving world around you that tries to divide you from your husband and says, seek your own way. Amen. Don't do that. You are inextricably tied to your husband. You are a helper fit for him, and that's to your glory, not your shame. That's how it's presented here. It is to the woman's glory that she's a helper fit for her husband. Now, we live in a fallen world, and part of the curse is for you to sometimes to want to go your own way. All right? That's part of the curse, women. But don't give in to that temptation. Refocus when that begins to happen. Get in the Word and let the Word transform you by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern the will of God for you in relation to your husband and your family. Mothers and wives, God wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work through you. He wants to use you to do His work in the life of your husband. You are to be a helper fit for your husband. Secondly, a wife, a mother, is a stunning blessing. A stunning blessing. Look at verse 23. It says, the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This at last. That records the man's first words when he saw a woman. Man's first words. Adam's first words that were spoken about Eve are recorded right here. Spoken by a man, or spoken by a man about a creation that he calls woman. Think about this. He speaks these words after having awakened from a deep sleep that God had caused to fall upon him. He speaks these words once the Lord has brought the woman to him. He speaks these words when he first sees her. My friends, these are words of being stunned. Adam is stunned, and he's stunned in a good way by what he sees. In nearly every chapter, in this chapter we read that God brought the animals to Adam in order for him to name them. Could you imagine how long a process that was? How boring that might have been. Adam perched up on a rock somewhere. God's bringing these animals by him, and he's naming them. Think about how many different animals there are. How many different kinds of animals there are. Now, among all of those animals, there was not a helper found that was fit for Adam. Not a one. But here is his helper. God brings her to him, and he sees her, and he's stunned. You can tell that he's stunned because of the words, this at last. This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This creature before him, this final creation by God, is unlike all the other things that God has created. She's amazing. Amazing. It was like looking in a mirror, but yet it wasn't. We are told that by sociologists and those kinds of people, psychologists, that men are more visually oriented than women. Women are more relationally oriented. I believe that's true. I don't think they got that wrong. So it's no wonder that Adam was stunned by what he saw in a good way. It's surprising that Adam was even able to say anything. I mean, seriously, can you think about that? It's like a groom when he sees his bride for the first time on that wedding day. What's the reaction? Wow. Wow. The very first time Adam lays eyes on Eve is at their wedding. At their wedding. Having never before seen another human being, especially not a woman, Adam's like, wow. You've heard the corny preacher joke, right? Why is she called woman? Because the only thing that Adam could say was, whoa, man. Amen. It was a good type of being stunned. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Husbands, do you still feel that way about your wife? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands or anything. But, I mean, maybe it's been 5 years, 10 years, 18 years for us, maybe 20 years, maybe 50 years. After your wedding day, do you still feel that way about your wife? Like, wow. What we need to do, men, is we need to ever so often just stop and pause and just, you know, observe the amazing blessing that God has given us. We need to consider how wonderfully different she is than us. And she is different. Don't expect her to be like you. The Bible says that, you know, we don't have to understand them, but we must live with them in an understanding way. Aren't you glad? She's not like you. And be thankful for that. She's different than any other animal out there, any other woman out there. No, seriously, she is. I mean, she's different than the animals that Adam saw. Oh, boy. Okay. Moving right along. But we need to, man, we need to just stop sometimes and just observe. We need to consider how she moves, how she speaks, how she thinks, how she feels. And then think that God gave her to us. God gave her to me. I mean, in marriage, he's joined us together. We're husband and wife. What a blessing that is. You know, we adventurous men are so often amazed to see God's hand in creation, aren't we? I used to do a lot of hiking when I was in Tennessee, and I was just fascinated by the mountains. The other people I hiked with wanted to just seem like run. I wanted to take my time and look at stuff. But we're amazed at God's hand in creation, the mountains, the streams, the oceans. How much more so should we be amazed by the woman that God has given us? She's far greater than that. This was for Adam. This woman was for Adam. Not in a selfish way. Not in a consuming way, but God brought her to him as a gift. My friends, God is so gracious. He's so amazingly kind and bountiful when he gives things. Amen. We think about the blessing of a godly spouse, but when we look at our spouse, when we think about that blessing, we should also think about the blessing of God giving us his son to rescue us, to save us. To save us wretched sinners by suffering and dying on a cross for our sins in order to reconcile us to God when the only thing that we deserved was judgment. The only thing that we deserved was wrath and judgment. God didn't withhold his son from wretched sinners, and God doesn't withhold a spouse from those whom he's called to marriage. He's so kind. He's so gracious. Husbands, tell your wife how wonderful she is, how amazing she is. Tell her what a stunning blessing she is. They would appreciate that ever so often. And then we see a unique gift. A mother, a wife is a unique gift. Look at verses 23 and 24. It says, Adam wasn't done talking. It says, then the man said, this is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall hold fast to his wife. It wasn't just this at last. He says, no, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Our first mother, the first wife, was truly bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God miraculously performed the first surgery in history by taking from Adam a rib and then fashioning that rib into a woman. And Adam gives voice to that physical reality. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And then that physical reality becomes a mystical reality in marriage. In every marriage. Look at verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage results in a deep unity. It results in a one flesh union. And it's a great blessing to the man, and it's a great blessing to the woman. It's for their mutual benefit, their mutual satisfaction. The intimacy of a husband and a wife is an incredible blessing. The man before was alone. And now here's one who is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And then it says that they shall be joined together and become one flesh. And let me just say this, men. This goes well beyond a sexual relationship. Well beyond. You should become one flesh in everything. There shouldn't be his and hers. shouldn't be her responsibility and his responsibility. You are to become one flesh. That's a lifelong process. I'm still working on that. But it's not just her dishes to do. It's our dishes to do. It's not just her diapers to change. It's our diapers to change. It's you become one flesh. It goes well beyond the sexual relationship. It's a great mystery. And we are to honor her. We are to value her. It's so unique, the man and the woman, how they are in relation to each other. We're not brute beasts. We're human beings. We're not brute beasts. And men, you're not a brute beast. And therefore, you shouldn't treat your wife that way. You've become one flesh in marriage. And you are to honor her. You are to cherish her. You are to value her. You are to love her. Adam says that she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Adam had named all the animals. Now he gets to name this wonderful, stunning blessing. And he names her woman. And that points to her origin. In him naming that, she's from him, woman. She takes on his name, woman. That's the reason why it's so important that there be that name change in marriage. It says something. But he names her a woman. Stating her origins, but she's different. She's different. She's gloriously different. Now, as an aside, let me say that the current trends that we're seeing in our culture, trying to reclassify the sexes, all of this nonsense about pronoun use, that is simply the results of a culture that rejects God. Nothing more, nothing less. This culture rejects God by believing in evolution despite all the scientific evidence to the contrary. The youth have been considering those things. The culture rejects God by holding to feminism, modern feminism, in spite of what the Word of God says. And let me tell you something. Modern feminism is not the same as Abigail Adams and the women's suffrage movement. Not the same at all. They're not even in the same vein, folks. The modern feminist movement seeks to degrade you, to denigrate you, to devalue you. As of late, you know what you're considered? Women? Birthing persons. That's the latest thing. That's the modern feminist movement for you. It simply wants to degrade you, to insult you, to rob you of your value, of your dignity. This culture rejects God by advancing the LGBTQ agenda in spite of clear realities. It's absurd. Young adults, young people, do not be deceived by the culture. Don't grab hold of that stuff. Go to the Word of God and see what God says. See what God hath spoken. He's the voice of authority. Adam saw reality rightly, and he recognized the wonder of this stunning, unique blessing that God had made, and he voiced it joyfully. This is woman. Our culture is descending into absurdity. It's descending into wickedness, and we should not go along with that. All that ends in, and you can see this, you see this throughout society, all that this ends in is foolishness, it ends in confusion, it ends in sin, it ends in death, it ends in destruction. That's all it ends in. That's where we're headed. And all my friends who advocate for these things, the modern feminist movement, the LGBTQ movement, plus, 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 whatever. I keep warning them, look, you're simply going to make society a very unsafe place for even you to live in. That's where it goes. Our culture rejects the wonderful blessing that God holds out to both men and women, and it's sad. It is sad. Women are a unique blessing to their husbands. They are a unique blessing to their children. They are a unique blessing to the church. And women, don't let anybody try to convince you otherwise or make you otherwise. But this is how God views you. This is how God views you. He views you as a mighty helper to your husband, a mighty helper to man. He views you as a stunning creation, one of value and worth and dignity. And you are a unique gift to man. You are a unique gift to the culture, to society. You read the quote in the bulletin by John MacArthur. It says that, you know, a man may be the head of the house, but the woman holds the greatest influence. Being a mother, being a wife, is not second class. If somebody asks you, what do you do? Don't just say, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. There's no such thing as just a stay-at-home mom. You are valued. You are a creation of God. You are, as humanity, the crowning creation of God. And you are special. And you have a special role to play. And it's only a role that you can play. You are to come alongside and supply what men lack. And we lack a lot. Supply what we lack. And men, you are to treat your wife. First of all, he loved her and gave himself for her. But then he continues to supply her with everything she needs to be her best and to serve him faithfully and to be prosperous. Wives and mothers, you are important. We are grateful for you, and we will continue to pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for the challenge of it. Lord, what a blessing it is to see just your greatness, your creativity, your wisdom. Lord, we know that your design is the best design. Your way is the best way. And Lord, we can see all around in our culture that when we deviate from that, when we depart from that, the only thing that we're left with is ruin and destruction, chaos, confusion. Father God, may we as the church continue to hold to your word, to stand upon what you have said, what you have spoken, and continue to be a voice of reason in a world of absurdity. Lord, may we be that thing which holds society in check, which you use, Lord, to restrain sin in the culture. May the church be that. But the only way for the church to be that is for us to be the church. To be that which you called us to be, and to declare that which you have called us to declare. And that is that salvation is in your Son. That wicked, dark, sinful hearts can be washed and made clean. That there can be given a new will through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he regenerates, recreates, makes new creations in him. May we continue to declare that boldly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing as we respond to what we've just heard. This is Living for Jesus.
For Jesus the rest of the while.
Living for Jesus.
What you have planned, but if you're able and you're a mother in the congregation, we would ask that you would come down to the front, please. Okay. Donnie says to kind of line up in the front if you can. All right, good group of mothers. I want to have a word of prayer over you ladies, and just pray God's blessings upon you, and for His strength, for you to know His strength as you continue to try to build up your children and continue to teach them, as my mother continues to do. So let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We recognize that it's a divine calling. We recognize that it's by divine design. And we recognize, Lord, that it's a great responsibility and often a tiring one. The duties of and cares for family often leave mothers weary by day's end. The call of the day is oftentimes sacrifice. Sacrifice in so many ways. The giving up of rest, the giving up of relaxation, the not tending to personal needs. Oftentimes, those things have to become second and third tier priorities. And countless times, though it's not expected, these sacrifices that are made go without any show of appreciation. And God, we ask that you would daily grant each of these mothers with the knowledge that they are special, that you've given them a calling, that they are valued. Give them the strength to perform the obligations that they have as mothers. Fill them with deep affection for their husbands, deep affection for their children. May they know the power of your Holy Spirit as they grow together from day to day. May they grow in your love and be shaped by your will. May their homes be a model of a home in which father, mother, and children dwell together joyfully as they dwell in Christ. Lord, bless these mothers. May they know the continual bestowment of your blessings upon them. May they know the continual bestowment of your grace upon them. May they know your mercies to be new and refreshing each morning. Lord, we pray that your hand of guidance would be upon them. We pray, Lord, that today that they do indeed feel special. But Lord, may we as men realize that they need to be made to feel that way every day. And you have given us a duty to do exactly that. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Big gifts. Yes.
Can I make an announcement?
Yeah.
We had a lot of food left over from yesterday's fellowship.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Basically, it tends to be salads and stuff. But we encourage you to go to the fellowship hall, and I'll be there and help you line up whatever you want. But anyway, that's it.
All right. And also, men, if you can stick around and help us put up those tables and get out the other tables, we'd greatly appreciate it. That's already done?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, JP. All right. That's one less thing to worry about today. That's a lot of work, but all right, ladies, I hope you feel loved and hope you appreciate your gift. I didn't know exactly what they were getting. Yeah, any of these. They should all be the same, I think. Just a special gift to you. All right. Well, let's give our mothers a hand. All right, God bless you. You're at liberty to go.